Hello and welcome to Lightmap from Sifter. On Lightmap, we explore what it takes to make video games and the interactive media that we all know and love. It's a guide to interesting new gameplay experiences, and in every episode, we get to meet new developers, artists, musicians, researchers, and more. This week, I'm on my own, but joining me is Nick Lowe, the director, and Lauren Fletcher, the art director, from Hungry Sky, the creators of Necrograms. So thank you very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here with you. So you're not alone?
No, not alone. Not alone. Yeah, sorry. No co-presenter this time. We can't wait to learn more about Necrograms and more about Hungry Sky. So let's jump right in.
Hi, I'm Kyle Paletta.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 12th of May.
Xbox kills four Bethesda studios, including multi-award-winning makers of Hi-Fi Rush and Prey.
Helldivers 2 players go to war, lobbing 200,000 negative reviews after Sony tries to force mandatory PSN logins on PC.
Hades 2 gets a surprise early access launch this week, and it's already smashed the previous game's record.
And Nintendo confirms we'll learn more about the next Switch by this time next year.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
If you like insightful discussions about those high-profile games that everyone's talking about, then why not check out Sifter's other podcast, Mainstream, in your podcast feed right now. We talk about those high-profile titles, those AAAs, some of those other smaller indie darlings, featuring insights from the award-winning Sifter team and other special guests. You can find Mainstream in your podcast player. That's on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or head to the Sifter website, that's sifter.com.au.
So Necrograms is a puzzle game for mobile devices, featuring a variety of cats in a cat cafe. I think we'll start with you, Nick. In your words, how would you describe Necrograms?
I'd say Necrograms is a very accessible game, a puzzle game for people who like puzzle games, but also we hope something which people who just like cute things could enjoy. So very accessible, but we found that some people take it very seriously in our testing. So, yeah, I mean, you don't want to say that you've made something for everyone, because that's always a bit of a mistake, but I think there's a lot in Necrograms for anyone with a mobile phone who likes cute things.
Yeah. I think if we were to try and give examples of games that we've sort of based it off, it's probably, I mean, the name Necrograms is made of the Japanese word necro for cat, and then nonograms, so.
Yeah, so nonograms are a type of puzzle game. I mean, lots of people are familiar with, like, crosswords and Sudokus and things like that, and a nonogram, most commonly in video games, it's been called Picross. So you got Mario Picross, and you've got Picross from the DS up to the 3DS and now Switch. And it's a type of game that's got a grid, and on the grid, some of the blocks are filled in and some of them aren't filled in. And they've got numbers on the top, on the columns and on the rows, and you kind of numerically figure out how to fill out this grid based on those numbers. And it's a fantastic game. If you haven't tried Nonograms or Picross, you should definitely try it out. I love it. But I do find that seeing a grid with black and white boxes and numbers is a bit of a barrier for lots of people. And so we kind of refactored that sort of game design, added a new mechanic, which makes more about sliding things, moving cats around and moving cushions around. And I hope that it suddenly makes it now accessible to people who might get turned off by numbers or get turned off by grids. You can kind of solve it intuitively and interactively by sliding things, and it looks adorable. So what is not to love?
Yeah, I think you actually, like while we were working on this, gave me a copy of Mario Picross for Game Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Just for research purposes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, any kind of like Picross Sudoku sort of game, I love them, but also I'm not great at math. So yeah, just the idea of being able to move things around or just like solve it by playing with it was I don't know, that resonates with me a bit more. So it's a lot more of a visual game. Yeah, so it's probably like a combination of like Picross and with more of the aesthetic of something like Neko Atsume. So yeah.
As someone who has a pathological fear of numbers, thank you very much for designing it this way. I'm just so it's just a great experience for me personally, because Sudoku scares me, and this with cats is just a much better thing for me to visually look at and understand. So you were talking briefly about getting more hands-on. Can you tell me a bit more about that idea?
But I think it's, I mean, we've added lots of things to kind of play with that interaction you get from moving the cats.
Mm.
So things like they kind of, we've got a library of meows that play out when you move them. When they wake up, they're like, meow. Actually, our audio director, Ben, he's not here at the moment, but he kind of chased his cat around the house and captured a whole range of meows. And we recently added haptic and taptic feedback. I feel it's particularly good on iPhone. Like, you can kind of feel as you go over the little blocks.
Yeah.
And you can kind of get a bit of a tactile sensation when the cats go to sleep or wake up or both. I think we've got a whole range of different bits of tactile feedback. And one of our testers said that although the soundtrack is fantastic because they play it on public transport, and they don't want to be the person who's like, where are those cat noises
coming from? Yeah.
So they turn off the audio and they just have it on haptic feedback, and they can kind of feel the game and still feel connected to it. So it adds a bit more life to it. It's been really interesting adding it because, haptics were quite a big deal with the Switch when it launched. And then on the PlayStation 5, if anybody can actually get one, they've got the haptic feedback. So it's nice seeing that on the smartphone. It's not just the console realm sort of thing.
Yeah. I guess in playing it as well, it's, I don't know, is this the type of player that you are as well? Because, yeah, I'm also not great with numbers, but it sort of just allows me to play through a level, and I just keep, like, just playing around with it until I solve the problem. So, like, that I find a lot more a lot more comfortable for me to play puzzles with, so all right, more enjoyable, I guess.
Question for more director Lauren. Can you tell me more about how the art style was developed?
I played a lot of games like Line Play and, I played like Neko Atsume, of course, and like Pokemon Shuffle and things like that. And I really wanted to get that kind of like, like chibi cat sort of look. I really liked the kind of lineless style of like the Line Play artwork. And I just wanted to make them kind of like, I don't know, like candy almost. Like, they've got that kind of squiggle sort of shape to them. They look like little apps. They kind of look like the tiles, I guess, that they sit on. It makes you just want to kind of like touch them and play with them. I guess playing those kinds of games, like I always just personally wanted to work on a game where I could make a whole bunch of cute accessories or something. So that was something we added in afterwards, was adding in silly little hats and things like that that they could wear. So I just wanted to make it delightful for people. I have a lot of love for like when you go to Japan and they just have like a mascot for everything. That kind of look, just something really silly and delightful for people.
What are some of your favorite cat designs that you've designed?
Peach Fuzz was the first cat that we designed, and it was really just like when we first made the game, it was for the Perth Games Festival, and the first version of the artwork that I did for Necrograms was like, it looked quite different, although after we updated it, it didn't change much from there. But I think it was like a similar color palette to Peach Fuzz. All of the cats looked like this. And I think the cat was like on its belly, And like the cats moved up and down and the cushions moved left and right in that image anyway. We just had to get something and send it off in the program because we were jamming on it at the time. But yeah, so when I made this, I really just wanted to get like this kind of, I don't know, I just really liked this kind of color palette of like the browns and like the teal color and like the kind of I don't know, like those like cafe sort of tones for the cats. And then later on, we started bringing in different breeds of cats because we were like, obviously it's a cat game. Everybody wants to see their cat in the game. So we started building other cat breeds. And I learned a lot about cat breeds and like the different kind of eyes they have and things like that. I think the ones that are really like, nobody actually knows this, but all the cats have names. I just went into like a supermarket and just like picked up random things, and so they all have really silly names. Like this one's called Peach Fuzz, and the Maine Coon is called Beam, and I really like Beam. Yeah, she's a good girl. What's the other one that I really like? There's a Bombay cat called Schrodinger, and a and I think it's called Russian White called Boodleheimer, and I really like those two as well. They're very cute. I just love all cats, so I don't really have any favorites, but it was fun to
you can't go past Boodleheimer just as a word by itself.
Yeah, it's pretty fun to say. But yeah,
I'm progressing through the game. I think I'm just at the beach level. Spoiler, there's a beach level. And my favorite is Bean, I think. And I haven't seen them yet, but I would like them in the bread face. I haven't seen the Maine Coon in the bread face. I don't know if that happens yet. I don't know if it's a spoiler, but there's a bread face cat. Hilarious. Love that. Brilliant. Can you go into maybe more of a question for Nick, but can you go into more of the level design and how that came to be? I know I know where your inspirations come from, but specifically for Necrograms, what goes into level design?
Well, I think as Lauren mentioned, the initial version of Necrograms we made for the Perth Games Festival, we're in a situation where actually the other director of the company, Min and myself, we set up a nonprofit in Perth called Let's Make Games. And then it's gone on to now also run the Perth Games Festival and things like that. So we always feel a bit of a, like we need to support our baby in a way. And so we're like, oh yeah, we're going to totally sponsor that festival and we're going to have a booth there and everything, and we'll figure out what we're going to show later on.
Yeah, we need to have a game.
So we put it together, and I think the initial level design was more about how do we communicate these game mechanics to people in a situation where they're going to come by the booth, have a few minutes to play, and they just want to clear enough so that they could complete their badge quest and, you know, earn a pin or something. So, we kind of designed the first one. So it's simple. You just learn that you slide the cat over and then it goes to sleep. The next one is you slide the cushion and it goes down and then it goes to sleep. And so I think the first dozen levels are all about just communicating those mechanics. And then we grow the level size over time. You get a 3x3 where you have to move both the cushions and the cats. And then you get to a point where you're not just always getting 3 stars. You've probably figured out how to solve it, but maybe there's a more efficient way to do it. And honestly, I don't care about the efficient way to do it. I just like, okay, I'm finished it, I move on. But some people in testing, they just keep going until they get those 3 stars.
Yeah, my mom's really into like 3-star and getting a perfect score and
everything. Perfect.
Yeah.
Although we still feel like it's just an achievement to finish the level. So we kind of go like perfect, awesome, and just nice. And it's not a condescending nice, it's a genuine nice. It's like, you've done it.
Like a thumbs up nice, like good job.
Yeah.
You also like, because the first version that we made for Perth Games Festival, that was curated levels, right? And then we kind of looked into the...
Yeah, so we kind of hit this point where we wanted to get a certain number of levels. So on launch, we're having 120 levels. So 40 levels each across 3 worlds. And then something that happens after the credits, which you'll need to play the game to get to. But some secrets, maybe everybody's bread face. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But Yeah, we worked with a programmer here called James Strauss, and he helped us with a generator for the levels. So we've got this thing that can generate endless levels. And then in our internal testing, we had a version of Necrograms where you could go into a mode that just lets you get a new level. And then at the end, you could rate it. And we had these little emojis like thumbs up or...
Yeah, that was for our internal testing. Yeah.
And all that went into a big spreadsheet. It was all graded by like how many moves people took and whether they liked it or not. And then we kind of like took the best of those thousands of levels that we played through and then put them into the game and gave them names and stuff like that. So when you're playing the game, you're really playing like the filtered down of all those levels down to the ones that we thought were really the best.
Yeah, I remember playing the randomly generated ones just to try and like hunt through and find good levels, and it really felt like a slog. Like now that they're curated, it just feels a lot more like, I don't know, that sense of progression is there. So
yeah, but definitely a big shout out to James, because he did a lot of work in the generator and sort of automatically rating them as well to get a guess of how many moves it would require. You've got to make sure that they're not too sparse or they're not too dense, because then they're too easy. So there's like this curve of maths. There's this nexus of maths that results in what we think might be good levels, and then there's us playing them and determining if they are actually good or not, and then there's what goes into our release. So it's quite an involved process, and I think, yeah, it was lots of fun, sometimes difficult.
So frustrating. So frustrating. Having to smash through so many levels. I think when we tested it, we started off with like, I think it was like 100 randomly generated levels, and I got to around like 65 or somewhere in the 60s, and like I was just so, I was getting really mad at Necrograms.
We did also add a thing where you could just play the ones that were voted on.
So
you're playing
the best of.
You can sort of play the best of.
That was good.
Yeah, but we did find out that because we kept it a bit loose in terms of whether you say it's a thumbs up or a meh, some people were like, oh, this is a thumbs up because I could complete it, so it's pretty easy. And then other people would be like, this one took me 20 years. I've got to give it a thumbs up. So that's why we had to do a bit of sort of manual curation to kind of normalize that.
Yeah, it was an interesting like rating system between was it doable or was it challenging and enjoyable, and that was what we were trying to, those are the levels we were trying to locate.
Yeah, and we would get pretty direct feedback from people when it was too hard. We had one level that we took to PAX a couple of years ago. It was called Le Fleur for the flower, and it stumped lots of people, and I don't think people were legit angry, but I think they were like, why?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like the guise of like cute cats is just it's there to calm you down while you try and solve these really like quite difficult puzzles.
Yeah. It's like therapy.
My next question was related to how you got your start in game development. You went into a little bit of your history in a couple of questions ago, but how did you get your start, Lauren? We'll start with you.
How did I get into games, Dev? I mean, I really just started when I started working at Hungry Sky. I didn't know a lot about the Perth games community, and Hungry Sky, like the company, actually, like most of our work is client work. So we make interactive exhibits and things like that. When we came to make Necrograms, we make interactive exhibits, but we also make games. A lot of them are just like educational ones and things you might see in like a museum or a gallery or something like that. So a lot of those skills were already transferable by the time we started working on Necrograms. I already had like ideas for what I wanted to do and everything. And I outside of Hungry Sky, I'd been working freelance on various things. And, yeah, I never set out to work specifically in games. I kind of just, like, fell into it because of the art skills that I'd been working with at the time. But, I think this is like my preferable work. Like, I really enjoy it. Like, making our own products has been really rewarding. So, yeah.
So good.
Like, compared to client work is great. Like, I've learned so much through it. But having the freedom to like paint as many cats and accessories as I will within limitation. Yeah. But, yeah, it's been really really freeing. So that's been nice.
What's left? What's left to go on Necrograms?
Oh, that's a good question. We're comfortable with what we've got right now for release. We've made a few minor changes here or there. But at release, you're looking at those 120 levels across three worlds. When you get past the beach world, we haven't actually released any images of that world. Mm. So if you get there, you could be the first to release anything. But it's adorable. It's probably my favorite one visually.
The
one
it's very after. Colorful, yeah.
Yeah. And then, as I mentioned, there's a sort of a secret feature after the credits.
Which, not so secret anymore.
Well, yeah. You don't know what it is.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's there.
Okay.
It's like we're totally sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe that, without a cliffhanger, because you actually just get a new feature in the game. So we think there's lots of value there, lots of gameplay. In terms of future things, obviously it's on smartphones. It'll be coming out, as you mentioned, December 16. But I want to see it everywhere, really. We want to get onto the consoles, get onto those developer programs. I'd love to see a side-by-side version or collaborative version on Switch, because we love the Switch. And then I just want, just for me, I want all the merch. Like, I want the bed sheets and I want my stationery.
Made a shirt and you wear it so much.
All the time. You know, it's good quality because it's lasted 2 years and you're wearing it all the time. I just want to surround myself with the adorable cats. And if I need to somehow convince everybody to manufacture all this so that I can have it, create my sort of shrine at home.
This whole thing was just a ruse so we could make huge, like, plushies and things.
Yeah, I'm all about it. We're super keen on it. We kind of just see this as the start, I guess.
Yeah.
And we want to create more versions of it. I've got additional mechanics that we've tested and planned out to kind of evolve the game. It's just a matter of rolling those things out. Maybe we need a standard check-in later for more information sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, this is our first game that we're releasing.
Self-published,
sorry. Yeah, I shouldn't say first game. First self-published game. So I think we're really just, like, I don't know, personally I'm just, like, happy to see where it goes, and I think we're all just really excited to get it done and, like, you know, see how people react to it, and,
Speaking of merch, is that cat going to be available? Is that your whole thing, Warren? For those of you listening on the audio version, Lightmap is available as a video. And if you go to sifter.com.au, you can have a look at this video. Lauren is holding, or has been holding this whole episode, the longest of cats.
Long cat.
Yeah.
I feel like we could go longer. I think we could.
My dream was...
That's a three cushion cat, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
I think we could. We need to make like some cushions to sit under her. This is our peach dog mascot. She's great. She's my favorite thing is the toe beans as well. That's great.
Yeah, if anybody is keen on the long cat merch, let us know. We just want to see what interest there is, and then we'd have to pick our favorites. Maybe we'll have to have people vote for it. I think if that's the case, we'll definitely make a bean.
And then what size is it? Just the chunkiest cats, the longest cats. Yeah.
I just want to fill this office with merch and then try to sell it.
Long cats.
Yeah.
I guess for the final question, what are you most excited for people to experience in Necrograms?
That's a good question. For me, firstly, sorry, I'm going to jump in.
Yeah.
I think I just want people to. Oh. Gosh, I just realized I was going to say everything. but I think it's just people who may not have picked up that sort of puzzle game, that sort of nonogram challenging puzzle game, to be able to pick it up and enjoy that. So I kind of get to share my joy of that type of puzzle game with people who might approach that type of game in a different way. That's something I'm very excited to see. Yeah.
I think I hope that people get a giggle out of it. Like, I hope they just, like, you know, come for the cats, stay for the gameplay. But if you see your favorite cat wearing a silly hat or something, it just, like, gives you, like, some delight or, like, pleasure. That's really nice. Like, even just the combination of that and, like, the music and that. I just wanted it to be, like a nice, relaxing experience for people, like a nice, chill experience for people, although the puzzles will get hard. I just hope it's delightful for you. And, yeah.
Yeah, we get a giggle out of people.
Yeah.
That's so good. I think if you look at our patch notes during the beta, almost every patch note was like, added more puns.
The cat puns.
Yeah. But yeah. We should do a shout out to Ben as well.
Yeah.
Ben Hammersley, who is our sound director. He composed unique tracks for each level, and then a bonus track, and then some custom tracks for some of our social media. And we've had a lot of feedback on that from the beta. People are like, when's the soundtrack coming out? And can I just play this in the background to you know, while I'm doing something creative?
Yeah, a lot of people really enjoy the audio, so...
Thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Light Map. Nick Lowe and Lauren Fletcher from Hungry Sky, two developers of Necrograms. Now, Necrograms will be available on the 16th of December. You can look it up if you're watching this live on Twitch, which will probably be live. That is the 16th of December. It will be available on the Google Play Store or at necrograms.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
It will also be on the App Store as well.
Oh, it'll also be on the App Store, yes. For those of you with iOS devices, but there are plans to bring it to many other platforms. Lightmap is produced by Fiona Bartholomaeus, Nicholas Kennedy, Daniel Ang, Sarah Island, Viv Thumb, Adam Christo, and my name is Mitch Lowe. I am the senior producer of Sifter and Lightmap, and Gianni DiGiovanni is our executive producer. You can find links to everything we talked about on our website, which is sifter.com.au, and you can read more about the games and the guests we featured and all the information of where to get Necrograms will be underneath this episode on our website. If you so wish, you can join the Sifter community. It's a Discord server. It is sifter.com.au/Discord to get it there. We talk about games, movies, anime, and we have a specific channel for you to share what you've been working on. So if you've been working on a game, you've been drawing art, you've been painting miniatures, we'd love to see what you've created, because we're all about creative things here on Sifter. One thing you can do to help support us is to share the show. It's free. We don't have a Patreon or anything like that. We rely on word of mouth. That is how most small podcasts get around. You can send them the link to this episode of the website. You know how to find us. I've just said how to find us. It makes it very easy if you just hit subscribe on their podcast. Just borrow your friend's phone and just hit it. Just search Sifter. We're the yellow icon. That's all for now. Thank you very much once again, Nick Lowe and Lauren Fletcher, for joining me on the show.
No
thanks
worries.
Very much, Mitch.
Thanks so much for having us.
And until next time, have fun.
Hi, my name is Kyle Paletto, and here at Sifter, we're proud to bring you some of the best independent games journalism in Australia. I'm excited to introduce a brand new weekly show to the Sifter roster, a gaming news show called Walkthrough. I'll let you know which company has been bought out this week, all the blockbuster titles that have just been announced, the controversies and the exciting developments every Sunday. I'll also give you an update on the titles out this week and go in depth with some of the biggest stories. I hope you'll join me as I guide you through the news on Walkthrough, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you like to listen.
Chris Button here from Drop Rate, Sifter's video game review podcast. Unicorn Overlord might have a strange name, but don't dismiss its tactical prowess.
It uses a tactics mode, which is similar to the Gambit system that was in Final Fantasy XII for your squad mates. And you can say, okay, well, you know, Hodrick, who's my legionnaire with the big shield, I want him to prioritize protecting the back row. They're going to take the most damage. If they take a physical hit, they're going to go down, but I need them to be protected. So you can get quite granular with this, and I reckon you could build some pretty wild builds that are totally game-breaking, but it's kind of the fun of the tactical squad-based gameplay in Unicorn Overlord.
Tune in to Drop Rate to find out why Unicorn Overlord might just be one of 2024's sleeper hits. Available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.